Job stress, financial obligations, or relationship problems have you feeling stressed out? When life is too much to handle, use Apothecary Herbs' emotional stress formula. Feel calm and more in control with herbs especially combined to provide the organic nutrition your system needs to help you cope. Complete instructions for maximum benefit and a money-back guarantee. You've waited long enough. Call Apothecary Herbs now. Toll free, 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International callers dial 704-875-8010 or order online at www.thepowerherbs.com.
Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'm Melody Cederstrom, and you're listening to Financial Survival. I'm here with my co-host, Alfred Adisk, to bring you our opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events. And today is Tuesday, July 26, 2016. Good afternoon, Al.
Hi, Melody.
Well, we've got loads to talk about today, and so I'm going to get started right away on the market report for gold and silver. We have gold trading a little bit higher today, up currently $4 in New York spot at $1,320. We have silver up 9 cents at $1,969. We have platinum up $8 at $1,095. And palladium is up 2 at $691. The USDX today is trading a little lower, 0.09, but still 97.14. And crude oil today was down 0.29 at 42.84. And the paper markets today, I clicked the wrong one off. The Dow was down 21 points at 18,470. Three, they just changed it. You know, here it is 5 minutes after the hour, and they're still changing the numbers. You know, go figure.
I don't think that's a problem, Melody. I mean, they do it with the unemployment rate.
Yeah,
they
what
do
the
it months,
I know.
After the fact. So what's a few minutes on the market?
I know. You know, and you know, it's funny. It used to be just like 30 seconds. Maybe, you know, you'd see a little change, you know, in the numbers. Now it's up to already 5 minutes. So the Dow down 20 points at 18,473. The NASDAQ was up 12 at 5110. The S&P basically unchanged at 2169. The 10-year yield, little change there, 1.56. The euro, 110. European markets basically unchanged, except for Japan. It was down 1.43%. And, you know, it's almost like the markets are sort of on hold. I mean, you have earning reports that are beginning to filter through. I think one of the funniest ones that I heard today, it's a classic BS report, Caterpillar. They reported their quarter earnings and revenues today. And, of course, they beat analysts' expectations. The company posted quarterly earnings of 1.09 versus the estimates of 96 cents per share. Well, hello, Caterpillar, I think I reported on this several months ago, was crying to the analysts, oh, you better lower those estimates or we're not going to be able to beat them. Well, the analysts complied, and they estimated 96, and Caterpillar came in with 1.09. So the analysts were friendly to Caterpillar. Caterpillar did report a lower quarterly net profit as sales of new machinery remained low. And second quarter sales in 2016 were down 16% for the previous term in 2015 to $10.3 billion from $12
billion. That doesn't matter, Melody.
I know.
Corporations are not about sales and profits. They're about analysts' expectations.
You got it. That's exactly it.
See if you can beat the analysts' expectations, then you
win. Let me finish this out. So, again, down 16% from the previous term, but yet they beat, you know, you're right, analysts' expectations. Now, get this. Caterpillar specifically cited the Brexit vote and turmoil in Turkey as factors of global uncertainty that added to already subdued world economic growth. Hello, Brexit only happened, what, a week before the end of the quarter? And Turkey, the coup only happened a week and a half ago, 2 weeks ago? So, I mean, how could that have even I mean, they're grasping for straws. The CEO goes on, he says, despite a solid second quarter, okay, a second solid second quarter, down 16% from the previous term a year ago. I can't imagine why that would be a solid second quarter. But yet again, you know, hey, their stocks were up, what, I think as high as, what, 5% today, 1% to 5%. And it doesn't really matter. Paper markets are, you know, at historical highs. So it's kind of like, hey, folks, don't worry, be happy. And, you know, you have Caterpillar. They have factories all over this country that are idle. They have idle plants all over the country. And they will continue to lay off people in the second half of 2016. Those are the type of earning reports that, you know, when you really get into it and so forth, you know, if you listen to CNBC, you listen to the CEOs of these companies, you'd think that, you know, they were able to pull off some sort of a miracle that things are great and, you know, the world is, you know, happy that there's actually some
fundamentals. And confident.
Yes. Yes.
We are happy campers. We are confident campers.
And it works because Conference Board Consumer Confidence Index only fell slightly from 97.3 in July. From 97.4 in June, so it barely moved. Economists thought it would be 96.3. So, you know, again, hey, that's what it's all about, consumer confidence.
Well, what's next, Melody?
Well, I thought we'd touch on a little bit about the DNC convention last night. You had mentioned that you saw Michelle Michael.
Yeah, I saw
a speech.
Obama's the first laddie, according to some people at least. She delivered a powerful speech.
She did.
I was much surprised. It's going to be tough for anyone else at that Democrat National Convention. It'll be tough for anyone to beat the speech that Mrs. Obama delivered last night. And I don't know. It's such a surprise to me. I've heard her say things. She was positive about this country, not positive about Trump, of course, and that sort of thing. You can understand that, but positive about this country, telling us what a great place it is and And there's nothing wrong with the country that needs to be fixed, one thing or the other. I didn't agree with everything she had to say, but her speech was powerful and it was inspirational. And you got to give credit where credit is due. And she definitely deserves a lot of credit for that speech.
There were 61 speeches last night.
How many suicides? They should have had more suicides. Have had many speeches. They should. Oh, that's it. I can't do another speech. How'd you get that gun in here? It's okay. It's only for suicide.
There were 61 speeches last night. You know, minute speeches, not lengthy. There were, you know, a handful. There was what, 3 major speeches with Michelle, Bernie Sanders, and probably Warren. I don't think anybody else. There was any major big speeches, but there was notations that there were no American flags to be seen.
Yep.
Very
I've seen
little
photographs that showed when Trump was speaking, for example.
Not Trump, but Sanders.
No, but I'm talking at the Republican convention.
Okay.
There were probably 50 American flags behind him. There were at least 20, maybe 50, somewhere in that neighborhood. Standing on staffs behind him, the back wall was covered with American flags, essentially. When you saw the Democrat convention, pictures indicate there was no flag up on anywhere close to the podium. And, you know, maybe that's important and maybe it's not important. I mean, you can make more of that than maybe it's worth, but it certainly isn't.
It's an indication.
It's an indication that you look at and you just wince a little bit and say, well, what's wrong with having an American flag up there? And they did have other countries' flags that were out in the audience. You know, people working for, who knows, rights for Cubans, rights for Mexicans, rights for anybody, you know. But the American flag was not obviously apparent. And it was certainly, it had to be just a big mistake. It's stupid. I don't care if you even like the American flag. I'm going to do politics. It's simply dumb not to be waving it.
Well, I don't know if in the beginning of the convention, I suppose there was some sort of a prayer or something, not even sure about that, at least in the Republican convention, and every night they held it. They pledged allegiance to the flag. You know, the anthem was sung, and, you know, it was, and that's how it should be. I don't care what, you know, it just goes beyond.
It's like the Democrats.
What's wrong with these people? What is wrong with them?
It's like they have a death wish. You know, really. It's just so stupid. They catch Debbie Wasserman Schultz involved in these email and fixing the election in favor of Hillary. Hillary, I can't even begin to count how many things she's been accused of and implicated in. I mean, and they're going to nominate her just the same. Huh? I think the best thing that could happen to the Democrat Party right now is if Hillary, for whatever reason, ignored the primary and said, no, I can't serve. And for whatever reason. And then they throw it open. Who knows? Joe Biden may get the nomination. Bernie Sanders may get the nomination. I don't know where it's going to go. Somebody else, some dark horse nobody even knows about right now, might get the nomination. And it would be chaotic and confusing, but I heard Michael Moore mention this yesterday. Michael Moore, who's an avowed liberal, socialist, presumably, maybe a communist, but he makes movies and the rest of that sort of thing. He says, he talks about the reasons Hillary's not going to be elected, and one of them he mentioned is, look, let's face it, Hillary. She is disliked, according to Michael Moore. He says she's disliked by 70% of the American population. People won't, I don't care who you are, if people don't like it, they're not going to vote for you. It's unfortunate in some regards. We don't necessarily make intelligent choices when we vote. We tend to vote for whoever. Oh, look there. It's
like
Brad Pitt and Angelina Jolie. Won't that be great? We'll have Brad Pitt for the president and Angelina Jolie can be the first lady, and let's elect them. It's a popularity contest rather than an expression of responsible citizenship. Say,
well,
this guy is going to help this country, this guy is going to hurt this country, or this woman, vice versa, whatever. We make bad choices, but that being said, if 70% of the people dislike and distrust Hillary Clinton, 70% of the people aren't likely to vote for her. I think she's headed for one of the greatest political defeats ever suffered in this country. I would be much surprised if she's not overwhelmed to the point where she's at least in the bottom five out of the elections, presidential elections we've had up until now. Her defeat will rank her at the lowest, close to the, you know, the bottom end of the scale. So I don't know. The Democrats, you know, they could have dumped her. They could have just given Bernie Sanders a fair election. There's a good chance that Bernie Sanders would have won the nomination if the Democrat National Committee hadn't worked to make sure that Hillary won. She has, there's good evidence that she has robbed Sanders of the election. And there's a point to this. The point is that Hillary couldn't come up with 51% of the votes cast in the Democrat primaries. You needed 51% average across the board for all of them. You had to come up with 51% or thereabouts. You had to win the primaries. All right? That's an oversimplification, but still, 51%. She couldn't get the 51% without cheating. And the people who've been cheating, and they know they've been cheated, they're angry about this. And they're not going to forget this between now and November. And the people, it's Sanders supporters who tend to be young and enthusiastic and energetic. They're the kids who will work the phones for nothing. They're the kids that will go door to door passing out flyers for nothing. They're angry. They got robbed, and they know they got robbed. And a bunch of them are not going to show up to say, I'm not passing out any flyers for Hillary. I mean, when you do this kind of thing and you think you engage in behavior that's at least unethical, it's certainly close to being criminal. I don't know. I wouldn't say that it's necessarily criminal, but it's certainly unethical. It's unfair. It disenfranchises many of your own alleged supporters by not counting their votes. And they think they're going to somehow win the national election without the full support of their own people. They're operating on the assumption, oh, we can screw over these Democrats, and they're dumb. They'll put up with it. And by the time we get to the election in November, they'll be backing us. It's a very cynical approach. I hope they're wrong. But it's certainly a cynical approach to think we can rob, cheat, and steal, do whatever we got to do.
Well, I think we should be thankful that Hillary has been unsuccessful in most of her career in anything that she's done. If you go back to her beginnings, it was either someone who helped her get a position. It was Bill. She was put in a place because of Bill. It was his power, his electability, his influence that got her in various positions. So, and if you follow her career, it's been the same for her all along. So, yes, she might have thought this was a cakewalk, a shoe-in as president. In the you know, with her agreement with Obama and Wasserman as controlling the party and so forth, and you know, it wasn't. I mean, and you know, for this, she's going to lose, and to us,
she deserves to lose. That's for
blessing.
Sure. We'll see.
It is a blessing that she's going to lose. So again, this is just another sign that she's not even capable of being president because she hasn't been successful. And all people say, "Oh yeah, well she was a senator." And no, take a look at what she's done and how she got there. She was not successful in getting any of these positions on her own.
I understand that.
So again, we should be thankful.
Why do you think that is?
By what?
Why do you think it is that she was unsuccessful at getting these positions, in a sense, on her own? And I think the answer is she's just not very likable. Right? If she had to do it on the basis of her own likability, she's going nowhere. And apparently, and there's a case to be made that she never has. So, I don't know. We'll watch and see. That might be true, and it might not be true, but we'll watch and see. Maybe that's a big part of her history.
Well, she knew how to get what she needed and wanted.
Yeah, I get that, but it doesn't mean
she used, like, she, you know, again, you know, how, you know, Bill's position, his you know, got her to these places, and the same thing all the way through her career. Mm-hmm. You know, so she was able to use the system, but she didn't. Now, people might say, well, yeah, well, that's part of her, you know, being able, she was successful. No, she wasn't. And so she would not be successful as president. And last night, when her name was mentioned, when, I mean, in the beginning of the of the convention, Bernie Sanders, there was a lot of booing going on.
Yeah.
By the end, yeah, everyone was sort of in agreement, a little bit more united, but I think we're united to take a break.
No, I have second thoughts about it. It's all right if you insist. Let's take a break and do some more commercials. I don't want to, but if we have to.
You don't
to,
have to.
Oh, yeah, I think we do. This is Financial Survival, and Melody and I will be right back. Stay tuned.
Is afraid of pain. No one wants pain to rule over their life, and you don't want the negative side effects of aspirin, ibuprofen, or prescription drugs. They can lower immunity and cause dependency. Is there a safe alternative? I'm herbalist Wendy Wilson, and I prefer willow bark and meadow sweet herbs to control pain, fever, aches, and inflammation. God's herbs are good, and you won't be disappointed. Call Apothecary Herbs for pain or extra strength pain relief formula. Toll free, 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International, 704-875-8010 or online, thepowerherbs.com.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity. Invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on American Voice Radio Network and Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
American Voice Radio Network is heard on Galaxy 19 at 97 degrees west, transponder 23, frequency 12115, audio PID 2595. AVR is heard on the left side audio channel, and AVR 2 is heard on the right side audio channel. Remember, both AVR and AVR 2 are on Galaxy 19. Same network, double the choices.
I'm Alfred Addisk here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival. What's next, Melody?
I just want to mention the Federal Reserve, Janet Yellen, their meeting this week, and not a lot of focus on, there any decisions as far as interest rates, and certainly they're going to leave everything unchanged. All the interest rates will be unchanged. There's no press conference scheduled after the meeting. There's no new economic forecast to be released. Everybody wants to go on summer vacation, so we're not going to mess with any of that stuff. And so everybody will take a look at whatever their policy statement is to see what will happen in September, if there will be a rate increase. You know, and I think we both know, and I think everybody listening to the program knows, there won't be a rate increase. There's not going to be a rate increase for many years to come. There's no way they can service their debt with bigger rate increases. You're probably more likely to see more of a stimulus come this way than any type of rate increases. Now, after the election, who knows what can happen? And I think we're going to start talking about that here in a little bit as far as what is going to happen. I mean, everybody's pretty certain that Donald Trump will be president. So what happens when he becomes president? What happens to the economy? You know, how what happens? What are the reactions in the markets? And what are some of the changes? I think gold will go crazy. I think either or, whether Clinton gets in there or Donald Trump, gold's going to go nuts.
Because you think there's so much instability facing us, and that instability is going to break out after the election.
I think so.
You think it'll be contained until the election and sometime afterwards,
and
things are going to break loose.
And even fixing the system that we have, gold's still going to go high. We can address our problems. That will make gold go high, just addressing the problems and understanding the problems and doing what's needed. When you talk about negotiating new trade agreements or canceling those trade agreements, there's going to be quick knee-jerk reactions to these decisions and even to the idea of a change and so forth. So, yeah, I think you're going to see surprising things happen in the market, and I think gold and silver will certainly benefit from a Trump, from either or. I think after the election, gold and silver will skyrocket. But anyway, I just wanted to bring that up with the Federal Reserve, Al.
Well, what I'm curious about, Melody, if they're going to be taking their vacations, has anyone studied to see if they're taking vacations to countries that don't have extradition agreements with the United States?
Not yet.
It's the sort of thing we should be keeping an eye out for. Just if they all happen to go to countries that don't have extradition agreements.
They don't have to worry about
maybe
that yet.
That would definitely be time to stock up on dried fruits and vegetables and food and gold and silver and so on. So we'll keep an eye out for that.
One more thing before we go on. I just wanted to talk about this long-term returns for U.S. public pensions. They're expected to drop to the lowest levels ever recorded. You're looking at a $1 trillion funding gap, and it's getting wider. So it's not stopping or getting better or improving. You're looking at over $1 trillion in this gap. 20-year annualized returns for public pensions in the U.S. are poised to decline to 7.47% once fiscal 2016 results are released in coming weeks. This is according to an estimate from Wilshire Trust Universe Comparison Service. They track pension investment returns. That would be the lowest ever annual mark recorded by Wilshire. They began tracking the statistics 16 years ago. In 2001, of course, we were at the height of the dot-com boom at that time. Pensions 20-year median return was 12.3%. So you're looking, again, these states and local governments, what they're facing, they're going to have to make difficult choices if these investment returns remain this low. And guess what? They're going to remain this low. What's going to turn it around? The money has to come from somewhere. Connecticut allocates 10% of its budget to pay down unfunded pension liabilities. That more than doubled in size over the past decade. We all know about Chicago. They have a $20 billion pension funding hole. And their credit tumbled to junk. And that's rare. That's rare for a city the size of Chicago. There's a couple of things. Of course, we know the California Public Employees Retirement System and California State Teachers Retirement System dropped their 20-year returns below 7.5% investment targets. These are the largest public pensions in the U.S. And so, again, they have big gaps. I mean, they're all underfunded. And you're looking at these shortcomings. There was one place, it was in Erie, schools. They're struggling to afford the basics because pension costs have nearly tripled. That's Erie, Pennsylvania. Pension costs have nearly tripled in the past 5 years. Students in Erie receive stapled copies of everyday mathematics rather than hardcover textbooks. because they can't afford the regular books because of these pensions. 2 winters ago, buckets, 21 buckets, were needed to catch all the leaks from the ceiling of a second grade classroom following a snowstorm. Since 2011, 1/5 of the workforce has been eliminated and 3 schools have closed. Our pension costs have been a major expense that forced us to spend less on students and more on employee benefits. Now, what's wrong with that picture?
Well, lots wrong with it, but what'll happen is we're going to see more homeschooling before this is done. And you'll
that's
see
long,
people that may be leaving.
Way off. That isn't the issue. The issue is, you know, these retirement funds are going to go belly up.
Well, they're going to go belly up across the country.
Absolutely.
What is the problem with the retirement funds? They are promises to pay. They are debt instruments, which we harp on this program on a regular basis. There are too many promises out there, and they can't all be kept. There are too many debt instruments. They can't all be kept. They can't all be paid. The promises are worthless. You don't want a promise to pay. You want a payment. Right? You walk around with a handful of pieces of paper. They are nothing but IOUs. They are promises to pay. Some of them may turn out to be good, but you hold them long enough, and a bunch of them, and probably the majority, will turn out to be bad. You don't want a promise to pay because there's too many out there. We can't keep all the promises. What do you want? You want a payment. What's a payment? Gold and silver are payments. They are not promises to pay. They are assets. They are not debt instruments. This goes to this, and this is evidenced by the whole problem with pensions throughout the country. It's just one of the promise systems, one of the kinds of promises to pay, where we're beginning to say, oh my gosh, we can't keep the promises.
You know, so many newsletter writers talk about, and radio programs, they all talk about banks are going to close, they're going to steal your money and so forth and whatnot. Agreed. Okay, we get that. On the other hand, here you have your retirement money. There's retirement money in these accounts where they're going to be stealing your money and people don't even pay attention to it. You have benefits that are being cut. I mean, and this is money that people have planned on to retire.
I know.
And you have they've already revamped a lot of these programs. You know, many states and cities, they tried to narrow the funding gaps, you know, after the last financial crisis, changes to benefits. Yes, you're going to get less. But even these moves that they were made with the low interest rates, it's not helping. And plus, you have a new wave of new retirees that are beginning to collect pension checks. So this is going to continue, and people are going to lose big time when it comes to the retirement accounts. And yet people pay very little attention. Very little attention. You're more worried about the money, and you should worry about the money in the bank, but pay attention to your retirement accounts, and what are you going to do? How are you going to protect it?
It's just taken for granted that someone else can run those pension funds for you. And you don't have to be responsible. Somebody else will do your thinking for you. Somebody else will handle the money responsibly. And the truth of the matter is, they won't. And neither do you if you allow other people to handle your money for it. It's an unfortunate situation. It's not something I wish was true. It's not something I even recommend. But the truth of the matter is, if you want a pension fund, if you want savings for your retirement, it's up to you to figure out how to accomplish that objective. And it almost certainly won't be accomplished by saying, well, I'll trust Bob Jones over here. He has a smiling face. Let's give our money to Bob, and Bob will protect us. No, he won't. Bob will protect Bob. Right? And if you don't protect yourselves, you'll pay a price for it.
You know, the decline in 20-year returns, you know, after the last 2 recessions in the last decade or so, and the things are not going to come back. We all know what's propping up these accounts, and that $1 trillion deficit is going to just continue to grow. And so I thought a lot of those numbers were interesting, and to see and who's going to pay for it if these things do happen. You know, you think that you make it an agreement. You think that this company has signed a contract with you.
Mm-hmm.
They're not going to. Contracts are broken every day. Contracts are broken every day. It's going to be the taxpayer who will be bailing out these accounts, the taxpayer, and again, the benefits will be cut.
If he has a job, if he has a job. Right now, you know, the number of taxpayers is actually falling as we have more and more people that are unemployed. I'm not sure that there'll be enough taxpayers left to pay enough taxes to take care of all these pensions. In fact, I doubt that there will be. The whole thing is headed for big trouble. There's an article here from Sovereign Man, and he reports that there's a new bill that's proposed in Congress called the Save Up Accounts Act, which stands for Secure, Accessible, Valuable, Efficient, Universal Pension Accounts Act. All right? And this is going to be
sign up.
This is going to be 2% wage tax on employers. They're going to add another 2% on employers, and this is going to be savings for your retirement, ladies and gentlemen. But this is in addition to the 6.2% that they're already paying on Social Security. Employers are already paying on Social Security. And so it means an extra 2% tax on it's already there, 6.2%. It translates into a 32% proportional increase on Social Security taxes for employers. That's who's going to pay on this thing. And they're going to pay until they go broke, till they're driven into bankruptcy. And then they're not there. They're not going to pay anymore. And where are we going to get the money? The truth is the government has made promises that cannot be kept. We were dumb enough to fall for them, and they were corrupt enough to make the promises knowing full well they couldn't be kept. And we're getting to a point where people are going to sit back and say, oh my gosh, I don't think the government can keep its promises to pay its debts. And when they debt that point, that means the government is technically insolvent. If they can't keep their promises, they are bankrupt. Now, they may not admit it, but that's what it comes down to. You can't keep your promises. You can't pay your debts. You're insolvent. You're bankrupt. That's where we're going right now.
Well, we talk about bringing jobs back into this country. Yes, it's needed. But again, do they really want to bring jobs back just so they can get more taxes?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, absolutely.
It's not about putting you back to work. What kind of wage do you think they're going to pay you for all these jobs that are coming back? And you know what? Hey, I want the best things that we can have for this country. You know, yeah, I'd like to go back in time, but we can't.
And I wouldn't like to go back in time.
What?
I wouldn't like to go back in time. I like it here. I mean, this is scary. This is scary times on one level, but this is an exciting and exhilarating period in American history.
I'm talking about the security that people can feel with working for a good job and getting a good pay. People that used to work 30 years, 40 years for a company, and they could retire comfortably, or they could retire and not worry about it, where they could save and put money into the bank. That's what I'm talking about. Those times are gone.
They're How did we get into back. This predicament? How did we
They're
get into this financial
back.
Predicament, Melody?
So again, I'd like to go back to that time where I wouldn't have to worry about Wall Street. They teach Wall Street when you're in third grade anymore, you know, because it's just crazy. What?
I did a report back years ago. I talk about it once in a while in this program. I wrote this back in the early 20 years ago, at least 25 maybe. An article called Big. Check to find out what the tax rate was at the time I was back in the 1950s when I was a little boy. And in 1950, my dad was paying about 15% of his income in state, local, and federal taxes. And when I did the report in the 90s, he was actually paying about 55%. Right? Our average, you take state, local taxes, take the hidden taxes that are built into everything you buy, we are paying over half of our income is going to support our grand government. That's where the money is going that would otherwise have gone into your pensions, ladies and gentlemen. That's where the money's going that would otherwise have given you an improved standard of living. We have a government that takes more and more and more and more and can't even imagine. Bill Clinton, when he was in office, he predicted that the next generation would pay 80% of their income in the form of government taxes, direct and hidden taxes.
I think we're
80%.
There.
That's what's happening to this country. We're being destroyed by a government that is too big, too lush, too inclined to think it does such a great job, they're entitled to be paid double what they could make in the private sector. So they're entitled to take their retirement after 20 years. You'll have to work for 40 or 50. They'll retire after 20.
And the problem is it's just not here.
Oh, it's all over the world, but it's going to go down. It's going to go down. And one of the things you can bet is the people in government are going to find themselves forced to get real jobs and learn how to work for a living rather than just to hustle and con people.
But the thing of it is, there will be no jobs. I do believe there will be an elimination of folks, but I think we're heading for a breakout.
I think we're heading past the break. We're headed for the end of the break now, Melody. Not the beginning, but the end. I'm Alfred Addis here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival, and we'll be right back. Please stay tuned.
Financial obligations or relationship problems have you feeling stressed out? When life is too much to handle, use Apothecary Herbs' emotional stress formula. Feel calm and more in control with herbs especially combined to provide the organic nutrition your system needs to help you cope. Complete instructions for maximum benefit and a money-back guarantee. You've waited long enough. Call Apothecary Herbs now. Toll free 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International callers dial 704-875-8010 or order online at thepowerherbs.com.
Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, and Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
Hi, folks. I'm Alfred Addis here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival. What's next, Melody?
Well, I just wanted to run a special today on Silver Eagles. And the U.S. Mint, you order American Silver Eagles from the U.S. Mint on a weekly basis. Well, they've lifted the restrictions on purchasing. Authorized purchasers have not been able to order as many coins as they wanted for well over a year, and they just recently changed that. There's only certain, they're called authorized purchasers that can buy Silver Eagles and Gold Eagles directly from the mint. They sell it to wholesalers. We purchase it from those wholesalers, and you buy it from me. To me, it's really not fair because it adds in a lot of middle people, but that's how they work the program. And there's always an allotment to which these authorized purchasers can have. Last year, if you remember, in July, things went sort of crazy, and they put on this restrictions, and they are now taking it off only because there are no shortages of planchets for the Silver Eagles.
By planchet, you mean what?
The slabs of silver that the coins
little
are made
metal
from.
Discs.
Yeah,
little metal discs that haven't yet been coined.
Right.
Which is actually a good point. What it means, a coin is a metal disc that has had an impression stamped into it.
Right.
A metal disc of silver is not a dollar. A metal disc of silver, well, that's even that's debatable, but what we think of as money, it's been stamped and it has an image. And when it's stamped, that's what coinage really means. Somebody stamped an image into the metal disc.
But due to the record-setting demand that they've had, they had these restrictions, and now the shortage of these slabs of silver that the coins are made from, there's no shortages. I think I said that. You got me all messed up, Al. Anyway.
No, I so didn't I make that happen, Melody. I was just here to witness
yeah.
Just someone wanted testimony. I could testify. Yes, I heard.
Yeah, I know. Anyway, so today, my special, just get to the point, 1 ounce American Silver Eagles, $2.40 over spot, $2.40 over spot, a tremendous buy for an American 1 ounce Silver Eagles, and these are 2016s. So a great buy for new coins. Let's start buying some silver, and let's see if we can't get that U.S. Mint to put allocations back on. So let's use up some of those planchets, folks.
All right. I can use up some of the planchets. Was there something else you wanted to mention, Melody?
They can go to our website at dgscoins.com, dgscoins.com, and make sure you give us a call at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188.
We have a caller, George from Toronto. Hello, George. How are you doing?
Hey, you got quite the singing voice there, Al.
Thank you. I get a lot of compliments on that.
Yeah. You know,
what's up, George?
Okay, what's up is I think, you know, what you've been saying all along, you know, it's fine for people to be in stock market and that, but, you know, you got to have something backing that up, you know, physical gold and silver. You really have to, you know, that is your insurance. If things go like we expect, they'll go sour, right?
And, I agree. I
think, you know, also what you guys were just talking about there prior to the break, part of the problem is people these days, they've been sucked into the consumerism, and everybody is trying to outdo each other. Keep up with the Joneses, right?
Yeah.
And I see it in my neighborhood all the time, you know? And it's the ones in their 40s and 50s, you know, and older, well, 50s and up, I'd say, starting to realize there's more to life than just keeping up with the Joneses. You know, we have so much stuff.
Well, that's the problem. We are conditioned to believe that if we get some more new stuff, then we'll be happy. And it's a fool's paradise. We buy all that junk for our kids, and they wind up just stacking it up in the garage where we don't even have space to put our cars in there because we've got so much of the trash. We bought the kids, the Hot Wheels and everything else that they wanted. And it's a temporary. And what it points to is we need to get a different system of values. We have learned that all this stuff, these consumer items, they don't really make us very happy. They actually put us into debt because we're buying half of them on debt anyway, on credit anyway. And you just have to start looking at it and say, wait, I need a different system of values where I can actually do something that pleases me on an extended basis, not just on the basis, ooh, look at this, I got this, but I'll need something else to replace it a month from now or 6 months from now, whatever. I need something more permanent. What do you think that could be, George?
I'm sorry, I didn't catch your question there, Al.
What do you think we should be looking for that might give us a more permanent sense of satisfaction than buying the latest iPhones? It cracks me up, the iPhones, the rest of that sort of thing. It used to be you just talk on these things. I don't doubt they're going to build one of these days that has a urinal built into it so you can, and maybe even a little refrigerator where you can keep some instant food in the refrigerator or something. How about just having a telephone?
I think people have to really get back to basics, you know, in religion, spiritualism.
I agree with you. But, and, you know, that's exactly what I'm talking about. I gave a
good sweatshirt that I kind of outgrown to my godson, right?
Okay.
His mom looked at it, you know, held it up and, like, that disapproving look, like,
mm-hmm.
I just don't understand. When I got, like, hand-me-down clothes from my cousins and that was a big deal. It was great. It was something new for me, right?
Yep.
But they don't think like that anymore. Well,
excuse me.
It's like, bless you. And I'll tell you another thing, too, that's screwing up society is our medical system.
Mm-hmm.
I'm glad Melody has Wendy Wilson on because that's the route to go, you know? If we would just try and stay well, if that's where the emphasis was, instead of going to the doctor all the time when we've got the little aches and pains and things and getting, you know, plugged up with pharmaceuticals that have bad side effects,
mm-hmm.
and run up our hospital and medical bills, that's a big problem too.
We are surrounded by it, and part of the deal is we have to become more personally responsible for our own lives.
Yeah.
And I think if you become more responsible, you become less dependent on getting some new gewgaws. Look, I've got the newest iPhone. Oh, big deal. Come on. If you become more personally dependent, self-reliant, you don't rely on other people to make your happiness, you don't rely on other, you know, you say, okay, I can handle this on my own. I think that's part of the attitude change that needs to be made, and it includes your health care.
Yeah.
I'll be responsible for my own health care. I'm not going to hand it over to a bunch of doctors and nurses. If it has to be, if you have an emergency, you have an emergency. But there's a lot that we can do, and we should be doing, and we're not.
Keep well in the first place, you know?
Yeah.
Like Wendy Wilson's a great, you know, resource of information and that.
Oh, I agree.
And people like her. I mean, that's what I've come to learn in the last 5, 6, 7, 8 years, you know? I mean, I've never been one to go to the doctor much anyways, but I'm learning more and more about, you know, herbal remedies and that type of thing. And they do work, and you don't get the side effects.
It's
just makes common sense. I think we're losing common sense.
Well, you know, again, this goes to this business of self-reliance. Part of the problem with medical is that we are led to believe that only the doctors can possibly be smart enough to understand what's wrong with us. It's not true. You're there all the time. You could be your full-time doctor. I mean, you could be paying attention. It doesn't mean you have to be I can't think of the term. Where you always think you've got one disease after another.
Hypochondriac,
exactly. You don't have to be a hypochondriac. You don't have to be paranoid. But you do have to be aware, and you have to realize, you know, I'm seeing some symptoms. It's not that hard to chase symptoms on the Internet. You can put a couple of symptoms into the search engine, and all of a sudden you can find some credible explanations as to what you might have. Now, maybe you're not getting the right one, but you could look at it. You could begin to learn. You could actually begin maybe treat yourself. And if you did that, who knows? It might work out okay. You just pay close attention. If it's not working, fine. Move on. Call a doctor if you have to. But you could begin to be self-reliant.
I'm not saying doctors and that don't have a place. But I think that the naturopath, the homeopathic doctors, they really should be given, you know, a good looking at, and our whole healthcare system in the Western countries revamped, you know? Like, even
do you think
smart enough to know not to have GMO food over there? You know,
what do you hear up Europe,
too? I bet you these elitists look after themselves pretty good. I hope that's something Trump will look into, the healthcare system.
Yeah, the
That's
whole thing is teetering on the edge. You know, for what it was worth, I talk about this from time to time, but I've been sued by the Attorney General of Texas for the manufacture and distribution of a controlled substance. Mm-hmm. The controlled substance was colloidal silver. It wasn't cocaine or marijuana. And all I was fiduciary for a trust at least some tables, chairs, and computers to a corporation that was manufacturing colloidal silver. We looked into the law, the relevant law. The drug laws presume the people to be animals. And to the best of my knowledge, I'm the first one to see that and realize it. In 100 years, it's been going on since the 1906 Pure Food and Drug Act. I sought, I provided a freedom of religion defense, and the Attorney General dropped the case. I was the seventh defendant in the case. It had been going on from 2001 until I was added in 2006. They saw this defense, freedom of religion, which my religion says I'm made in God's image, given dominion over the animals. I can't be an animal under the Christian faith. We presented that defense. The Attorney General, after investing 6 years and nearly $500,000 in pretrial investigation, pretrial hearing, they dropped the case. They didn't want that observation to reach the public. My point is, the system is based on the idea that all of you people are nothing but livestock. The definition of food, the definition of drugs, by law, find it in the 1906 Pure Food and Drug Act. It defines you and your children and your parents and your loved ones as animals. And this is the system that we have for medicine. It doesn't recognize you as men and women. Certainly doesn't recognize you as men and women made in God's image and endowed by your creator with certain unalienable rights. No. It shouldn't be a surprise that we wind up with a kind of substandard medical care when the system is designed to approach us only as livestock. So I don't know if you, and for what it's worth, we've had people tell me from England and also Australia or New Zealand, they read the relevant definition of drugs in England and Australia. Maybe it was New Zealand, I don't remember anymore. But they told us that those definitions also presume the people to be animals. I'll bet they do the same thing in Canada.
Well, this is the pervasiveness of the medical system, eh?
Yeah.
I mean, they're as bad as the bankers. They really are.
I agree with you. I agree. This is a widespread conspiracy waged against the people of the world by the New World Order. They intend to treat us as livestock. We've all heard the explanation, they think of us as livestock on the global plantation. No, they think of us as livestock on the global plantation. That's what they do, and they say it in law if you can read the law. Right?
Yeah.
Well, the whole thing is madness. It's insane, and it's apparently going on around the world. It didn't happen in the last 20 years.
This is something that
people have been working on for at least a century.
Yeah.
I agree.
I mean, I saw a video called, Forbidden Cures of Cancer.
Yeah.
And it went through, how the medical system, suppressed different cures for cancer.
Yep.
And they're available. They're just natural stuff.
Uh-huh. They can't make any money off of it. The whole idea is we are being milked like cows in a farmer's barn. That's our object, is to be milked. And when we can't be milked anymore, then they can chop us up into steaks or roasts or whatever else and get squeeze the last dollar out of us and move on to the next generation. George, I have to thank you for your phone call, but we are out of time, so we're going to have to talk to you another time. I'm Alfred Addisk with Melody Cedarstrom on Financial Survival, and I hope you folks will tune in tomorrow when we return. In the meantime, the good Lord bless you, me, Melody, Frank the producer, and George from Toronto. Bye-bye.
I work all night, I work all day to pay the bills I have to pay. Ain't it sad? And still there never seems to be a single penny left for me. That's too bad.